Unfortunately, we're doing this because of the coronavirus, and we certainly are in prayer for our country, our nation, our leaders, as well as those who are sick, and we just are asking the Lord to help us through this very difficult time. It's uncharted waters for all of us, and we are just thankful that the Lord is still in control. We've done our best to make this service as professional as we can as far as the broadcast, but please understand that we are learning as we go. And so this past Wednesday, we were able to have a live streaming of a prayer time together, and we learned a few things there. We tried to work out the kinks, and I'm sure there's still some kinks that we don't have worked out, but we're doing the best we can, and just bear with us as we have come together to worship our Lord. There's always a risk involved in live streaming something. We could have pre-recorded this and then shown it at a later date, but we want to do this live. We want to be all together as a church family worshiping at this time, and so we're glad you've tuned in to our Facebook page to see this live streaming. We do want to worship our Lord. It is important that we do so together as a body in Christ, even though we can't be together physically. We're thankful for this opportunity and the technology that we have to be able to do this together. As I said earlier, we are experiencing unprecedented times as a nation, as a world. And so we are just wanting to do the best that we can to be normal in our service this morning, as everything else seems to be very uncertain and unstable around us. And so we're going to just go through a regular Sunday morning worship service with you, with our praise team here behind me, and we're going to try to just bring some normalcy to your life as we worship together. We would ask that as we are broadcasting, as we are live streaming, that you not make any comments as you sit at your computer or on your iPhone or whatever you might be watching. Those comments that pop up is just going to be very distracting to others who are watching. So just limit your comments and do not comment during the live streaming. After we're done, you can comment all you want. You can say how ugly Pastor Don was or how handsome he was, or, you know, it is what it is. You work with what you have. And so we just want to try to make the service as normal as possible, but keep the comments until afterwards, and then comment all you want. Any comments that can help us out, how we can do it better, we certainly would welcome that. And we thank those who have already helped us in that way on some of our test runs. We are thankful for the help that you have been to us. As we are in uncertain times, we can be sure that God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly what is in front of us. Nobody knows where this is going to end at this point, but God does. And we are reminded of Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God has us in his arms. We can trust him. He's in control. So we're here to worship him this morning. As we do, it's been a challenging week for everyone. Would you just take a few moments and calm your heart before God as we begin our worship service together? Father, we come to you this morning knowing indeed that you are in control, and knowing that you love us. We worship you because of who you are. We worship you because of the promises that you've given to us. We worship you because, Father, you have sent your Son to be our Savior. And we thank you this morning for this opportunity. Thank you for the technology that we have. In spite of not being able to be together physically, we can be together in this fashion to worship you. May it be honoring and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. First song we're going to sing this morning is called Mighty to Save. We realize that we don't have the words in front of you for our broadcast this morning, but if you know the song and you're at home, sing along with us. We'd love that. 3. Father, we certainly know one thing, that in heaven, the angels and all the saints worship and bow down before you, uninhibited by anything that goes here on here at earth. We praise you for that. We thank you that we, though we cannot see them, we are worshiping all along with them right now, singing, praising, honoring, adding our voices to the cries of holy, holy, holy. For you are holy, holy, holy. We thank you so much for all your love, and we pray that this would be a wonderful service together. Lord, thank you so much for all those who are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, how about we go on to our next song here? Next couple songs we'll sing here are going to be Cornerstone and also The Wonderful Cross. And again, I know many of you don't have these songs memorized. That's okay. We enjoy singing with you, for you, and we just pray that if you know these songs, just sing along with us.
Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that during a time such as this, you are a very present help. We thank you that you are our refuge, you are our strength. We can come to you in this time of need. We can come boldly to your throne of grace to find help. And we certainly recognize this morning that we need your help. We need your help as a nation. We would pray for our leaders. Pray, Father, that they'd make wise decisions. Pray that you'd give them just the ability to know what steps to take. We pray, Father, that you would help them to recognize that indeed we are a nation under you, that ultimately we need to depend upon you. And we know there are many today who mock that very thought and that very idea. Even as some of our leaders have led in prayer, they've been mocked for doing so. And yet, Father, we recognize the importance of prayer. We recognize that ultimately that is where we will find answers. And so we come to you this morning as very needy people. We would pray for those who are sick. We'd ask, Father, that you would heal them. You are the great physician. Your word tells us that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so we're praying and we're asking, Father, that you would heal them. And we are asking that you would protect those that are now healthy, that you would allow us to remain that way and not to be distressed with this illness. We thank you that, again, we can trust you because you know exactly what's going on and you love us. We can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Again, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship in this fashion, though perhaps it's not the way we would want to do it or that we would like to do. We'd like to see a full auditorium worshiping together. That's just not possible now. We are thankful that we are able to do this and that together we can worship even in our homes as we would broadcast this service together. And I pray that in the end we would be lifted up, that we'd be encouraged. Help us to strengthen ourselves in you. Help us, Father, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let our request be made known unto you. And we do come with thanksgiving, thanking you, Father, for your many blessings upon us. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the time we would normally take an offering. And obviously, with an empty auditorium, we have no offering to take. But may I gently remind you that we still have missionaries to support. We still have ministries to fulfill. We still have bills to pay. And so if you would want to send an offering, your tithes and offerings into the mail, we would certainly be receiving those. If you're concerned about who might see it, just write confidential on the envelope and it'll go directly to the treasurer without being opened. But we do gently encourage you to continue to give to the Lord and to his ministries. As we've purposed in our heart, we are to give. And our offering, tithes and offerings, are a thanksgiving offering, thanking God for the way he's blessed us. And so as we do play this music, Joel and Abby are going to play for us at this time, just bow your head and thank God for his many blessings upon you, even during this difficult time. Be thankful for what God has given to us. Thank you, Joel and Abby. I have a short article here I'd like to read. It's entitled, Don't Waste This Pandemic. About 7 points, that things we need to think about, truths that we need to consider. Number one, if you do not believe that the pandemic is allowed by God, you will waste the pandemic. Everything happens with the permission of God. God did not stop the spread of the virus immediately, so he must have a higher and better purpose. Number two, if you only rely on outside protection instead of seeking comfort from God, you will waste this pandemic. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Number three, if you refuse to consider death, you will waste this pandemic. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, because death is the end of all men, the living will take it to heart. If you don't want to think about it, how can you take it to heart? Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us how to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Number four, if you only want the pandemic to stop as soon as possible, just so you can return to a life, so you can return to live a normal life without seeking to understand God's will and cherish Christ more, you will waste this pandemic. Satan and God have different purposes for this outbreak. Satan wants to use this pandemic to undermine your love for Christ. God wants to deepen your love for Christ. So if you are dead, the virus has not won. But if you still do not cherish Christ, Satan triumphs. God's purpose is to take you out of the ordinary things of this world and to taste the abundance in Christ. Philippians chapter 3 says, I also consider all things as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Number five, if you spend too much time reading the information about the pandemic, but you don't have enough time to read the Word of God, you will waste the pandemic. There's nothing wrong with understanding more about the pandemic situation, but you can't help. If instead you learn more that will lead you to a better understanding of God's enthusiasm, you'll not waste your time. We must learn Jehovah and strive to know the Lord. Blessed is he who loves the law of the Lord and meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Psalms chapters 1 and verses 2 and 3. What a waste if we read the information about the pandemic day and night instead of God's word. Number six, if you treat your sin as casually as before, you will waste this pandemic. Are you still tolerating sin, just like when the pandemic didn't come? The pandemic is used to destroy the desire for sin, pride, greed, hatred, irritability, laziness, procrastination. All these are enemies to attack. Don't just think about fighting the pandemic, but think about fighting your lust together with the pandemic. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose himself or is cast away? And number seven, if you do not make good use of this pandemic and make it an opportunity to witness the true and glorious Christ, you are wasting this pandemic. Christians do not appear by accident anywhere. God has a purpose for all Christians in any situation. Think of what Christ said. They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Therefore, the pandemic is also a good opportunity to witness for the glory of God. Remember, you are not alone. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There is much to learn during this time. May we humble ourselves before the Lord and allow him to teach us.
Well, if you're a regular with us and watching us and you have a hymn book nearby, we're going to be singing hymns number 303 at 5:30. The songs we're singing this morning, with you who are near, my God, to thee, and near, still near. And the Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What a wonderful promise that is, praying that you will do that, especially if you're fearful at this time. Let us sing. 2, 3, and 4. 2, 3, 4. Verse 2. Nearer still, nearer.
I've chosen at this time to kind of suspend our series in our study of Genesis and to address perhaps some things that will be a little more relevant to our situation. We'll continue our series in Genesis when we're able to come back together here in the auditorium. This morning I want to address the subject of fear and anxiety. Obviously there are a lot of people who are fearful, a lot of people who are anxious because of what's going on, and understandably so. There's a lot to be fearful of if we allow that fear to take control. Maybe you're one that's not all that fearful. Maybe you're one that has taken it in stride and you're not anxious about it. But even there, perhaps we can come together and be an encouragement to one another with the truths of God's word as we consider what the Bible says about fear and about anxiety. There's plenty, as I said, to really be fearful about if we allow ourselves to be. Not only is the coronavirus out there, and we may be fearful of that, but for some, that's the least of their fears. Perhaps the economy is your fear. Perhaps you're anxious about whether you're even going to have a job or not. Perhaps you're anxious about whether your business is going to succeed or not, or whether it's going to fail. Perhaps you're anxious about your 401k that's lost a third of its worth. There's a lot out there that we could be fearful of, and yet God's word is very clear. Be anxious for nothing. We don't need to be worried. We do know that God's in control. And Philippians chapter 4 is the passage I really want to zero in on this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 8. And I'm not sure we're going to get through all of those verses, but I want to look at that as a context. And there really are are four commands in those verses, Philippians 4, 4 through 8. There's the command to rejoice in the Lord always in verse 4. There's the command in verse 5, let your moderation or your gentleness be known to all men. In verse 6, there is the command, be anxious for nothing. And then in verse 8, there's the command to think on these things. So there's four commands. And we want to quickly look at them in light of the situation and the circumstances that we are in today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful again that we can come to your word and find comfort, find strength. We can come to you knowing that you have given us your word and you've preserved it for us, and it is truth. Your promises are just as true today as they were when they were written many years ago. And we just are grateful this morning that we're able to study it together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 4, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Begins in verse 4 with the command, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, the book of Philippians is a book of joy. The word joy or rejoice appears 17 times in this short four chapters in Philippians. It's a book of joy. If you're finding yourself discouraged, if you're finding yourself anxious, I'd encourage you to just read through the book of Philippians. It is a joyful book and gives us many reasons why we can rejoice and be joyful even in difficult times. But this command, rejoice in the Lord always, it is a command. And we sometimes tend to put commands in categories. You know, there's the really important command, you know, the biggies, the Ten Commandments. And then there's other commands that maybe aren't quite as important. We tend to categorize them. And yet, they're all commands from a holy God. There's not one that's more important than another. There's not one that's a biggie that we really need to be worried about and another one that's really not all that significant. They're all commands. And this command, rejoice in the Lord always, is just as much of a command as thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or even the command and the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. This is a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's not an option for us. God is telling us that we need to be rejoicing. And it is rejoice in the Lord always. You know, a command, by its very nature, is something that we would not normally do on our own. In other words, you don't have to command somebody to do something that they're going to do anyway or that they would just normally do on their own. You know, you don't have to command me to eat chocolate chip mint ice cream. I'm going to do that whether you tell me to or not, whether you command me to or not. A command is something that you wouldn't normally do. And so this would suggest, because this is a command, that it doesn't come natural for us to rejoice in the Lord always. That doesn't come natural. Oh, maybe to rejoice in the Lord sometimes, that might come natural. But it's that word always that really makes it difficult, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. This is in a verb tense that also refers to a continuous action. So it really is, there's a great emphasis here. Continuously be rejoicing always. Continuously be rejoicing always in the Lord. This word also, rejoice or joy, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You go to Galatians chapter 5 and you read the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this joy that Paul is speaking of here when he says rejoice in the Lord always, it's not something that we can just produce on our own from our own flesh. This is something that only the Spirit of God can produce. That thought of rejoicing always is not something we're going to be able to do in our own flesh and in our own strength. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And we need to be submitted to the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to be filled with the Spirit, yielded to Him, so that we can then produce the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruits is this joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. There's never a circumstance, there's never a situation, there's never a pandemic that we can't rejoice in the character and promises of God. It's not saying that we rejoice because of the pandemic. It simply says rejoice in the Lord during the pandemic. And we can find in the character of God and in the promises of God plenty in which we can rejoice. You know, the joy that he speaks of here is not something that changes with our circumstances. If we're going to rejoice always, we're going to have to rejoice in something that never changes. If we're going to depend upon our circumstances and our situation in order to be guided emotionally, we're going to be in trouble. Because those circumstances are always changing, and so then our emotions will always be changing. If we're going to rejoice always, it's going to have to be in something that never changes, and that's in the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust Him. He never changes. And so regardless of our circumstances, we can rejoice in Him. We can rejoice in His promises. He's promised that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that's in Hebrews chapter 13. And right after that promise, where He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, He then goes on and says, therefore, we will not fear what man shall do unto us. Knowing that He'll not forsake us, knowing that He will not leave us, we need not fear. No matter what man may do unto us, or no matter what some virus may do unto us, whatever the situation, He's with us. And we can find joy in that promise. We find joy in the promise that He is going to return. He's promised that where He is, we will be with Him someday. And in that promise, we can rejoice no matter what the circumstances are presently. We know that the best is indeed yet to come. In Romans chapter 8, we're told that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it even lists disease or illness that cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing can, no man can pluck us out of His hand. We have that promise in which we can rejoice. And so it's just a total confidence and a total faith in the character and promises of God that allows us to rejoice in Him always. I read in Habakkuk the last three verses. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me walk upon my high places. Habakkuk says, no matter what happens, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. He talks about the fig tree not blossoming, or the fruit not being on the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall not yield. He's talking about famine. Yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Perhaps we could paraphrase it this way in our time. Although my 401k shall lose a third of its value, or I get laid off from my job, and though the threat of sickness from the coronavirus paralyzes the nation and is ever before us, and though I am afraid to practice social distancing so that I am unable to do the things that I want to do, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. In the midst of a pandemic, we can indeed rejoice in the Lord. We read also in Isaiah chapter 43, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We can rejoice in the Lord always. The next command in verse 5 is, let your moderation or your gentleness be known unto all men. The word moderation, gentleness, forbearance, perhaps your translation would have, it's a word that refers to a yieldedness or even a leniency, or perhaps even a sweet reasonableness is the way one person describes it. The opposite of this word would be to be obstinate or contentious, or even the idea of being rude, the idea of being demanding and demanding your rights. That's the opposite of this word. Let your gentleness, your yieldedness be known to all men. Let your forbearance and your complacency in a good sense, being compliant to others, is what this word is referring to. It's not talking about yielding up God's truth, not talking about yielding up the holy standard of God. It's talking about yielding when it comes to your preferences and your opinion. Again, in this situation we find ourselves in, this pandemic, you have people on all extremes. You have some who think that it's just being way overblown and we're overreacting and this is ridiculous. And then you have others who think that maybe we're not doing enough, that we really need to do even more. And so you have this wide range of opinions and preferences, and it's very easy for people on both extremes to become very harsh towards others, to become very rude towards others, to become very contentious and try to argue and convince the other person that you're right and they're wrong. And Paul would remind us, we need to be gentle to all men. We need to be courteous to all men. We need to be yielding to all men. We need to be compliant in that sense. Not trying to force our way and our opinion and our preferences and demanding that it be done our way, but rather being yielding to others. It says, let your gentleness, your yieldness be known unto all men. To be known. You know, the word know often implies experiential knowledge, and I believe that's the case here. In other words, make sure that all men experience your gentleness. Make sure that all men experience your being compliant. Make sure that all men will experience that forbearance that you have. Not just your friends, all men. Not just those who agree with you, not just those who think that your preferences and your opinion's right, but to all men, even those who disagree with you, even those who have a different preference, even those who have a different opinion, let your gentleness be known to all men. Notice that little phrase at the end of verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Just that reminder that the Lord's coming again. And I believe that the thought here, the Lord is at hand, is the idea that He is coming again. His return is imminent. He's at hand. And it's a reminder that, you know, those things that we are contentious about today, those things that we are bickering with others about, when we get to heaven, we'll begin to realize how trivial those things really were. How so insignificant and unimportant they really were. We're so contentious now, and we're trying to persuade everybody our way. And yet, when we get to heaven, it'll be so unimportant, so insignificant. Why were we bickering over those things? Why were we so contentious? Why were we so harsh to others? It'll really be of no significance. In fact, you tie that in with verse 4. If we're always looking for a fight, if we're always contentious, if we're always bickering, we will not experience the joy that verse 4 speaks of. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then finally, we come to verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. The word anxious here is really from a root word that means to divide. And really the thought is when you're anxious, you're being divided in your thoughts between the things you're worrying about and the cares of this world. And it's dividing you or separating you from your Lord. Worry and anxiety is really a worship of self rather than a worship of God. And so this word, it comes from a root word that means to divide or to separate. And anxiety is separating us from our God. We're more concerned about self than Him, and we really are worshiping self rather than Him. And so it says, be anxious for nothing. Again, it's in a verb tense that refers to a continuous action. And then the word nothing in this verse is in an emphatic position, so it really is emphasizing for nothing, continuously be anxious. For nothing, continuously be anxious. Or to put it in the positive, don't be anxious for anything. Continuously, don't be anxious for anything. Worry is trust in self rather than God. The alternative to worry and anxiety, notice the next word, be anxious for nothing, but. It's a contrast. The alternative, you can be one that's worrying and you can be filled with anxiety, or, in contrast to that, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Prayer is the alternative to the worry. Letting your request be made known to God is the alternative to worry and to anxiety. That's also in a verb tense that refers to continuous action. We are to continuously be bringing our request to the Lord in prayer and in supplication. That's a continuous action daily throughout the day. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'll get up in the morning and I'll pray, and then we go on our way and we never give God another thought. We never pray anymore. No, it's a continuous action throughout the day, just talking to our Lord, calming our anxiety before Him. We have certainly the example of Christ Himself. As He was faced with the cross, He went to the Father in prayer. As He was faced with the cross, He asked the Father to help Him during that time and to strengthen Him during that time. We have Christ as an example who brought His request to the Father, as we likewise can bring our request to the Father. Notice it says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. That's an important part of this. As we make our request known and as we're anxious and we want to come to the Lord and we want Him to take that anxiety away as we pray to Him and make our request to Him. But one of the important ingredients in that prayer is the thanksgiving part. Being reminded of the way He has blessed us. Being reminded of the way how in the past He has given us victory over anxiety and how He has in the past helped us. And as we thank God for what He's done in the past, it'll remind us of what He can do in the present. And so it's with thanksgiving. One individual said it this way, as it relates to praying with thanksgiving, to pray in any other spirit is to clip the wings of prayer. If we're not praying with thanksgiving, we clip the wings of prayer. We come with thanksgiving. Thankful for what He's done in the past. Thankful for His promises. Thankful for what He will do in the present. He does say, in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, there's nothing too small to bring to God. There's nothing too big to bring to God. We can bring everything to Him. Whatever it is that may be concerning us, whatever it is that is filling us with anxiety, no matter how big, no matter how small, in everything, we can bring to the Lord. As we do, it says in verse 7, the peace of God, which which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ. The peace of God will keep our hearts and minds in Christ. Through this prayer, we now have peace rather than anxiety. And this peace is really a confidence of mind and a calmness of soul. A confidence of mind and a calmness of soul. Confidence of mind because in faith we are trusting in the sovereign God. Calmness of soul because in faith we are trusting in the love of God. He's in control, and we know that, we believe that, we put faith in His absolute control, and that gives us confidence of mind. And then in faith, we know that He loves us, and that gives us calmness of soul. That no matter what the circumstances or the situation, He's in control of it, and it's out of His love that He controls it. He never does anything out of His love. He will indeed work all things together for good. So this peace of God is that confidence of mind and calmness of soul before Him. It passes all understanding. I believe the thought there, it's not just that we don't fully understand that peace, that calmness of soul and that confidence of mind. It's not just that we have a hard time explaining it. We just experience it many times, but it's not just that it's hard to understand, but I believe the thought also is that it's beyond what any man's mind can accomplish. You know, people are often trying to calm their anxiety and calm their worries through their own mind and through their own thinking apart from God. And what we're reading here is that this peace of God that comes through bringing our anxieties to Him is something that man cannot produce on his own. It's beyond what any man's mind can do. It's something that only God can do in man's mind. It's only what God can do in the soul of man. And so it's beyond anything that man could ever work up on his own. Beyond anything that man could think and produce any kind of a calmness like this. Oh, man can perhaps imitate it to a certain extent. But ultimately, this peace, this calmness, this confidence comes only from our Lord as we humble ourselves before Him. And it'll keep our hearts and minds in Christ. Instead of being filled with anxiety, our minds, our heart, they are filled with Christ. We think on Him and who He is and what He's done for us. In fact, it goes on then in verse 8, as our hearts and minds are kept in Christ, we're able to think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, those things which are praiseworthy, those things which are virtuous. We're able to think on these things because now we have the confidence of mind and the calmness of soul that allows us to keep our hearts and minds in Christ and to think on these things that are really important, and we're not filled with the anxiety and the worry that we would be otherwise. I'd like to just zero in for these last couple of minutes on that word, think on those things which are true. Those things which are true. That could be translated, think on those things which are real. The what-ifs of life are not real. The what-ifs are the future. And we don't know the future. The future isn't real yet for us. And so we get worried and we get anxious about the what-ifs. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? What if they do this? What if they don't do this? We get worried about the what-ifs. But the what-ifs aren't real. We need to think on what's real. What's real is the present. We think on those things and we put it in perspective that God of the universe is in control and He loves me. And so we don't think on those things which are yet future, the what ifs. We think of the present and we put it in perspective as God is indeed in control. And so we rejoice in the Lord always. We let our gentleness, our yieldedness be known to all men. We're anxious for nothing, but we make our requests known to the Lord so that we can think on the things that are really important and are necessary in our lives. Even during this time of pandemic, unprecedented, we're being told to stay in our homes. We're being told to not go to work. We're being told to isolate ourselves and to social distance ourselves. And we wonder, where's it all going? And what if? Let God deal with the what ifs. Let's concentrate on who He is, on the character of God, and on the promises of God. We can trust in His sovereignty. We can trust in His love. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful again that we can come to You. We are grateful that You do love us, that You care. You have a plan and a purpose. Help us to humble ourselves before You. Thank You for Your word and for the comfort that it can bring to us. Guide us through this time. Give us wisdom. Help us, Father, to be a witness and a testimony for You. May others see our confidence of mind and our calmness of soul. And may we be a faithful witness to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you. And I trust you have a great day. And we will be back here again next Sunday at 11 o'clock, again with a live broadcast. Thank you very much.